We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus coming into your homes by the way of however you're receiving us. We just appreciate the Lord today and thank Him for His grace, for His mercy and His love, because His love is what shed there, what brought Him to shed His life there on Calvary. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son into the world that through Him that the world might be saved. You know that John, the first chapter speaks about, and the Word was flesh, and the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us, the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. We know that God is sovereign. He needs no assistance from us, but He would assist us in to serve Him if we will only believe and trust in Him. I was reading in Psalms there, a lot of people today are claiming that there's no God. There's even people organizing what they call an atheist church. But in Psalms, or in Proverbs 12 and 15, it said, only a fool is right in his own sight. Right. Psalms 14 and 1 says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are culprits. They have done abominational works. There is none none that dwells good. There's no good in them. My friend, today, we're living in a world that is full of all kinds of things going on around and about us, but yet it was spoken of about 2,000 years ago about the things that would come to pass, and they are being upon us right today, but yet a lot of people are not believing in these things simply because they will not read the Word of God. Let me encourage you, read your Bible. Don't take somebody else's word for it, because he may or may not be all that good on it himself. He may mean well, but you need to read for yourself and find out what God would have you to know, because he brings us to the place that we're in, that if we ask of him for wisdom and knowledge of the truth, he will give it to us. He'll enable us to bring forth, and we can understand the scriptures. But it's going to be led by the Spirit. It's not going to be carnal. It's going to be led by the Spirit. A carnal man thinks of the carnal things, such as adultery and drunkenness and all the follies that goes on in the world, is a carnal mind. Spiritual mind is going to be fed by the grace of God through the reading of His Word and bringing forth the things which comply to God's will for mankind today. We read in the Bible that we're in, that these things are happening, that people are turning away from God. We know that things happen like it did with here when they tore the blowed the towers down and everything. Everybody was running around and said, God bless America, or God bless America, and all these things. And it, but soon it was all died down. But God is not going to bless a nation that has all the attributes of sin and all the follies of sin, that, and that's all they're interested in. People have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They become to be an adulteress, drunkenness, murderers, and all kinds of things are happening in this world. So we need to realize today, the only way that we're going to be pleasing to God is know what God has in store for us, but know for sure that God is not going to allow no sin under no circumstances, shape, form, or fashion, or however it is, going to enter into His kingdom. He called all men to righteousness, but He also said that people are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We needed to have salvation, and it only comes through Jesus Christ. So, my friend, today, if you're believing all this stuff that's going on is just by coincidence, let me encourage you to read your Bible and study it, and you will know that it's been prophesied 2,000 years ago about the things that are happening today. We know that how the image that Nebuchadnezzar seen, gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and then iron of clay. I believe in my heart that we're living today in the foot of this image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, that Daniel gave him the interpretation of. Daniel said that it was a stone hewed out without hands that hit the image at the feet where the iron and clay, you know, will not mix. Hit it at the feet and broke it all to pieces, and the wind blowed away the residue of it. And the stone became a huge mountain that filled the whole earth, which is the kingdom of God. Now, we're living at close to that time of the return of our Savior. We look about, we see all the attributes that the sins and iniquity that was in Noah's time, and we'll see all of this stuff that is happening with these men and women marrying one another into the place that we're in that it's not right in the sight of God. Men marrying men and women marrying women, going after strange flesh and these things according to the Bible. It's an abomination to God. It's sin, and it's not going to enter in. I don't care what they say. This is the way God made them. They're a liar, and the truth ain't in them. That God never made a man in no such a manner as that. It's the devil has crept in, and they'll allow this to come into their heart and deceive them into these things and made them believe it. And he turned them over to a reprobate mind that they would believe a lie to be damned. Now, my friend, today we're going to try to explain some of these things to you. God permit that there is a sin unto death. As it's written there in 1 John, he said there he wouldn't that you would pray for that kind of sin. But if you see a brother in sin, if he commits a sin kind of accidentally or whatever, and you go to him and you find him and talk to him and he repents, that's good and well. But these people that continue in their sin and doing the sin that brings forth unrighteousness to them throughout, and they're rotten to the core, and this sin is continually every day that they're living in sin, they are committing sin and everything. It's kind of like habitual drunkard. He drinks every day, he gets drunk, and every time he turns around, he can sometimes just smell the drink and get drunk. They call them alcoholics. Well, these people that commit sin is an obituary sin, and they're going to be judged by God as Sodom and Gomorrah was and as the days of Noah was. My friend, we're living in both these days today. We have it going around, and if we would just take a little bit of time to read the Word of God, then we would know that when Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he wrote to him there in the first chapter, and the 18th verse, he goes on and said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteous of men and supposedly truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, but God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his individual attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, in which an internal power of the Godhead. My friend, they've come to make God to be something other that he's not. Trying to change him over to being some kind of statue of some kind. We know that there's some places in the world today they've got statues sitting all over the place, and it claims to be a temple of God. But God is not no stone statue. He's an individual. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. During the olden days, they bowed down. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to the image that he set up after they heard all the musical instruments, but there were three Hebrew children wouldn't do it. They throwed them in the fire. But as the king rose up and said, "Did not we throw three into the fire?" They said, "Yea, O king." But he said, "I see four walking around loose in there." And he called them out, and he recognized that that there was a God above all of him. Told the people not to say anything against his God, but today they speak all kinds of things against God. We're living in a demoralized civilization today that worrying people don't regard anything but themselves. These self-righteous people, they come up, they want their rights, but they don't care nothing about your rights. These people that comes around acting like that is like they did in the days of Noah. All kinds of sin running rampant, and it become a stink in the nostrils of God. And God made up his mind. He said, I will destroy mankind off of the face of the earth, that he created. But then he found Noah had found grace in his sight, and Noah's wife, his three sons and their wives, eight souls that found grace in the sight of God, but he told them to build an ark. They built the ark in 120 years plus 7 days, but no one but them got into the ark. When it was all finished and God told Noah to come into the ark, he went in and the door was remained open for a period of time. And then when God shut the door and the rain began to fall, honey, there was no doubt that there was a prayer meeting going on, but it was too late. So what are we going to do in this day? There's preachers preaching the end time message and God's going to come and wipe away all sin and he's going to create all things anew to wherein dwelleth righteousness. But people are not believing it. They're still in the same predicament that they were in the days of Noah. But when the Lord Jesus comes and he takes his people, his bride out as he did Noah and them that found grace in God's sight in the ark of safety, when God comes and takes his church off the face of the earth and things begin to really go bad and the wrath of God is being poured out as it was in the days of Noah, it rained at that time, but he said he was going to destroy it by fire and the heavens being on fire. My friend, when that happens, it's going to be too late to pray. It's going to be too late to call on God because you've had all this time to accept him and you ignored him, going around just doing your own thing, doing your love of pleasure more than loves of God. You're seeking after, running all over the world, doing this and doing that and one thing or another, and you're not paying any attention to the signs of the time simply because you don't believe. But let me tell you that we're living now in the eve of the coming of our Lord. We're living in the foot of the image mixed with iron and clay. All of those people, all these things that the Bible speaks about, these 10 kings, it's a European economy over there is what it's all boiling down to be. We found out that Hitler, Mussolini, Hirohito, and all these people come around and try to conquer the world and rule it for themselves. They're just a fulfillment of the scriptures. Believe me, my friend, read your Bible, study it, and rightly divide it out. Let God help you to understand it. We're living now at the time that when this old Antichrist spirit is full force, it ain't just to be seen, it's going to reveal himself, and when you go and take his mark, it's going to be too late. You won't have an opportunity. God will withdraw his spirit from you, and you will evidently be lost completely in sin without any hope. So, my friend, let me encourage you. Again, read your Word of God. Find out for yourself. Some of these preachers are preaching this here easy believing stuff. I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not, idea and everything. Don't be waddled up in that kind of unbelief stuff and that lie the devil's come out with. God is going to come after a church that has made itself ready. A bride that is adorned herself for her groom and has made everything provisions is right, has got the light of the gospel in them, and their light hasn't gone out like the five foolish virgins. It's going to come the time. Paul goes on to say in Romans there when he was writing to the church that he needed to come forth there and explain to the people. And he said there and about it and all that the people that at that time was they was proud. They boasted. They mixed and mingled with everything. You know how that Sodom and Gomorrah was in the time of Genesis there? When God looked down, he heard them, how they done, and everything was engulfed with all this immorality and things of that nature. And God went and Abraham even got to the place of where he asked him if it was 50 souls in Sodom, would he spare it? He said for 50, he would spare it. And he went on to 45, went on down till he got to 10, and he never said no less than that because, I don't know, maybe Abraham thought that Lot would have even been lost. But anyway, Lot and his two daughters are the only one that really got out. A lot of people is going to be like Lot's wife, going to turn back to look into the things of the world and see them things and admire them and be lost simply because they did not believe or trust. But the angel told them, they said, don't even look back. But sheep failed, look back one more time. But it was too late then. She looked back. The scripture says she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, there's people that denies that, but that's what the scripture says, and I believe that they're true. But anyway, if you want to believe what the Bible says, it's entirely up to you. But study your Bible. Read it for yourself. And look into the scriptures and believe what it has to say. You'll find that we're living in this fulfillment of the scriptures that was wrote and prophesied 2,000 years ago about our Lord coming. You know that how Jesus told them before it ever happened that how the temple would be torn down and destroyed, not one stone left upon another. He predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, and it all came to pass. He said that we to believe what the scripture says. Be led by the Spirit. A lot of people being led around like a bull with a ring in his nose by some of these false teachers and telling you everybody has to sin a little bit more or less than every day. So, my friend, if you do sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he will forgive you. All you got to do is ask him, but you continue sinning and become an obituary sinner, you just continue sinning, and you don't ask for forgiveness. But you say, well, I'm okay. I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. And my friend, you're living in a dangerous situation. You're living to where God will turn you over to a reprobate mind that you will believe a lie and be damned, just as he has these people that Paul was writing about in Romans there when he wrote to them. Rome was full of that immorality, just as the world here in the United States is full of it too. There's about 15 states has went to sanction same-sex marriages, and the judges and them things is taking up their part of it and everything. The Bible says they're worthy of death and them that have favor with them. So, what are we going to do? We're going to go by what God has to say, or we're going to go by what the Supreme Court has to say, or them little judges that running around with his little black robe on, and he declares that he can make statements that even God will appreciate and accept, and he's a liar too. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that we're living in the last days. You need to make it right. We all need to get on our face, put our face on the floor and call upon the living God and pray unto the Lord Jesus Christ and stay out of the places where they cry out to Mary, and all this Hail Mary stuff is not going to get it done, my friend. It's going to be calling upon the name of Jesus is the only name that's given whereby a man can be saved. So it's up to you. So we need to realize that this time has come to the place that we're in, that we need to rely upon the Word of God. Being born again of the water and of the Spirit, we need to look to Him for salvation, because there's no other name given among man wherein that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. Paul goes ahead and teaches them there in Romans. He said, for the cause that they, in Romans 1:26, for this reason God gave them up with vile compassion, for even their women exchanged the natural. Nature use of that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which it was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which was not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disordered, disobedience to parents, unconcerned, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knows the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those that practice them. It sound familiar? What is our courts doing today? Sanction all these things, making it laws. And it's all against God's laws and rules. It's against His righteousness, against His nature for men to be with men and women with women. He didn't make them that way. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And He brought the first institution of a marriage between a man and a woman. He never intended for it to be any other way. But the old boy called the devil, the god of this world, has crept into the minds of these depraved people and allowed him to engulf them in such way and persuade them that, hey, it's all right. They got all the signs of evil in them, according to the Bible. Murderous and disloyalty and everything is all in that, because the god of this world has depraved them and made their minds so depraved until their sentence, according to God, is going to be death. Because the only way, if it's a way, if they can be got out of it. I know of some that supposed to be gotten out of it for a number of years, but they turn right back into it again. It's like a dog turning to his own vomit, or like a hog took out of a waller and washed and cleaned and perfumed all up, maybe put a ribbon around his neck, but he turned it loose and he went right back into the hog pen. My friend, it's not right. God's not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. But yet and still, there's people in this world today there's no God. They want to emphasize their rights on people that and have prayer took out of the school, have it took out of this and out of that, and worrying that people are catering to this stuff. God's going to take revenge on all of them and have pleasure with such stuff. And all of them that sanction such stuff, God's going to take a wrath and He's going to pour it out upon them, and they're going to wish they'd never heard of such thing. But it's going to be too late. God is going to bring forth justice in this world. And my friend, let me tell you, it's going to start at the house of God. If you people that believes this here hoop-de-doo stuff, and this little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be going to church, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of them out there goes to church, and they go just to be seen, to where people will see them there. They go amongst all of the big up-to-ups, and they say, well, I went to church. My friend, the Bible says, except you repent, you will die in your sins. And a lot of the people who goes to church has never repented. They've never come to the place of wherein they ask God to forgive them of their sins and really accepted His plan of salvation. But they go to church. They have a foolish heart. But they need to find out what the Scripture says about the Word of God and therefore about this repented life. Oh, I would that I'm like Jesus now when he looked out over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her brood." Well, you know, when trouble comes around, an old hen's got a little brood of chickens out there, and she'll hover down and spread her wings out and go to clucking in a way that they'll come and run under her wings for the shelter, for protection. Mm-hmm. My friend, it's come to the time that we better run under the arms of God, into the shadow of the Almighty, and cry out for him to protect us from the evils that has come upon this land. And it's going to be done by God, because of he's going to punish the sin of this world. It's not his will that he should punish you in such a way, but because of sin, he's not going to tolerate. He's going to bring a destructive blow against the world because of the sins. It's not because of your righteousness. The righteousness is going to go into that strong tower. They'll be hid from all these here things, as he did in the days of old when he protected them over in the land of Goshen, when all the problems was happening to the evils in Egypt. Can't you understand what God's trying to bring his people into the place of refuge? He brought Noah in the ark, saved him over the flood. He got the angel of the Lord took Lot and his two daughters out. His wife was with him, but she looked back. But he took them out. Before the destruction comes, God's going to take his people and put them in safety. He did Noah and Noah's family. He did Lot and his two daughters. He got them out before the fire fell. And Noah, he got into the boat and rose above the flood with the flood there. God's going to come and take his church out. And it is going to be all too bad for them that have left. Don't let somebody fool you into them that's going to be left behind is going to have a way of escape. And there's some big rich man's going to build a big bunch of boats and they all going to get into it. It's not going to be by water this time, my friend. It's going to be from fire. And I believe that fire is going to be worse than anything that's ever happened to this world. It's going to come to the place to where your big iron boats or whatever it's made out of is not going to be protected. God's got power that you haven't or I haven't ever seen. He can stand in the midst of the whole world and blow his breath on it and it all perish and go away. But yet and still, he's a merciful God. He's going to bring mercy to them that call upon his name, but at them that don't, and they took the mark of the beast and went ahead and said, live this adulterous life and sinful life as the people are doing this day and time. My friend, he's going to take his revenge upon them, and they're going to be destroyed, like he said, in the fire. So don't you think it's about time we taking time for Jesus? Don't you think it's about time we took out of our life our little things that we love to do and take some time and spend some time with him, getting along somewhere or another, reading your word and studying the word and looking unto him and allow him to bring us to the place of repentance and salvation, because it's not going to get to you no other way. Don't you think it's about time we took some time to give God praise and honor in the blessed name of Jesus? Don't you think it's about time we woke up and smell the coffee or smell the roses? Don't you think it's about time we woke up to realization by reading the word and see where we're at? See if your life measures up to be worthy to escape these things. Or do you still so engulfed into your own self-righteousness, into your own folly, until you won't recognize what's going on and be lost without any hope? My friend, it's time we take time out for God. You take time out for everything else. So take some time out to believe and read God's word and believe and see where we're at and see if you don't need to repent. I believe you'll find it if you'll be true to yourself. I believe you'll find that you need to repent. I repent every day if I've done anything or said anything and everything contrary to God and his will. I repent often, my friend. As Paul said, I die daily. We have to die to the old flesh into this world and its pleasures and things of that nature and live for God. God is not going to have you go in two different directions in one time. But the scripture does tell us that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. But straight is the way and narrow is the gate to lead to righteousness, and few that find it. Few that find it simply because they won't believe what the Word of God has to say. And there's some preachers that preaching the truth to you. But there's some of them standing up there behind pulpits that went to these big learning schools and one thing or another and learned how to preach for the almighty dollar, tell you fables and tickle your ears and let you believe whatever, and everything's going to be all right. It's got like pan religion. Everything's going to pan all right. But I want you to know this salvation is not pan religion, my friend. If you ain't got it right, if you like the foolish virgin ain't got your light burning, you're going to be left in the dark. You're going to be left out. When the door of salvation and the opportunity of salvation is shut, you'll be standing on the outside knocking, wanting to come in, but it'll be too late. It's time you realize that everything that comes down the road with a Bible tucked under his arm and been to a seminar school, he learned what that man taught him in there, but he hasn't learned what God had to say about it, because he learned it all from a man. And Paul made mention about it. A man didn't teach it to him. A man didn't give it to him, but he got the revelation of it from Jesus Christ. And you read the Word of God and you can get a revelation of God's truth if you will only let him lead and guide you by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Many of them out there today said, well, them people that talks in tongues is a cult. Well, I tell you what, my friend, it's a lot of them old cults has prayed for you, and maybe because of their prayers, you may not have been dead long time ago. But I want you to know that God has got a language he can allow his people to speak and directly to him. But if you want to shun it, you want to believe what they tell you about it and everything, that's entirely up to you. But let me encourage you, my friend, make no doubt, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is one of those things that says you're worthy of death. You know forgiveness of it. So a lot of them people out there preaching that that's a cult and making fun of it and blaspheming it may not have an opportunity to get into the kingdom of heaven. He might be done lost his opportunity because blaspheming against the Holy Ghost of God will not be forgiven to any time for a man or a woman that does such according to the Word of God. So be careful of what you have to say about them that may speak in tongues. And I'll grant you there's probably some of them out there that got it and learned it through school and teaching. It's not real. But my friend, if you got the real Spirit of God, if you have repented, you know the difference. You know the difference, just like when you wake up in the morning and the sun shining's daylight. And you'll know that when you close your eyes the sun goes down, it's got to be what we call darkness and night. You know the difference. When you get the righteousness of God in you, you'll know God from the other parts of these things. Oh, it's time we take time out from all of the worldliness, all the things that we so engulfed into, and get down to business with God. Look at the wars and the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, and all these things that are happening. God told Hagar there when she had that son, said to call him Ishmael. Said that he'd be a wild man, be against his brothers and his brothers against him, everybody against one another. Take a look, the Far East. And the way those people are acting, it fits the old description of which God said that Ishmael's descendants would be. So, my friend, there's only one God, one Lord, one faith, and his name is Jesus. Not Allah, not Mary, or not somebody else, but it's Jesus. But I want you to know that if you don't take the time to read your word and you believe all this here kind of stuff, and the devil's going to drag you into the hell and beat you in the face with the sun. just like he does all other false prophets and teachers. Let me encourage you, take time out for God. Give him some of your time. A lot of people go to churches and they put in George Washington goes to church more than anybody else in the world. They put in a dollar or two in the offering and think they've done God a service when he calls for 10%. But that's in your money, that you earn. But some of you won't even give him 10 cents of your 10% of your time. Some of them goes to church 2 hours on Sunday morning. Some of them don't even go to church on Sunday night. Hour and a half, 2 hours on Wednesday and think they've done God a service. Used to be when they go into revivals, it'd be for weeks at a time. Under brush arbors, under tents, believing and trusting in God. And God performed many miracles because they loved him. They sought after him. Now today, he's bringing a curse upon us because we have forgotten him. So it's time we take time out for God. Time we turn back the pages of time a little bit, as much as we possibly can. Call for, ask for the old path and walk therein. But the world said, no, we're not going to ask for it, neither we're going to walk in it. But it's time we taken time out of our daily things and give God some time daily, serving him, giving him praise and honor, and believing in him. Repent of our sins. As he said in 2 Chronicles, the 7th verse there, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, repent, in other words, turn from their sinful ways, calling upon the name of the Lord, he said, and then would I hear from heaven and heal their land. My friend, we're not calling on God today. A disaster happens. We ask God to bless America, bless America. When we're killing our babies, unborn children, people are running rampant in the streets, killing one another and everything, and we asking God to bless this nation? He ain't going to bless us with all this here kind of sin going on. Repent of your sins and come to the Lord, and then ask him to bless something else. It's time we taking time for Jesus, my friend. It's time we looked into the scriptures of God's word. Believe what is there that's been given unto us as a guideline to help us serve the Lord in these days that we live, because they're perilous times. All of the things which the prophets of old wrote about and the Lord spoke about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even in Isaiah in his day, they're all coming to be fulfilled today in your time, in my time. Oh, my friend, it's time we looked out into the scriptures, looked into the reading of God's word, believing and trusting in him and giving him praise and honor, looking to him to help us in these days, because there's no one else that can do for us what Jesus can. I see I'm getting pretty close to my time. I haven't even let my wife get in here yet, but I will in a minute. But God just laid it on my heart, my friend. It's time we really sought the kingdom of God with our whole heart, not just half-hearted, not with just a little bit of a thing that would grandma might have told us and we remember about that, and we just rejoice a little bit because of the story that grandma or grandpa told us about how sovereignty God is and his goodness and grace. My friend, I've got children that are lost. I've got children that are out of the ark of safety. I hope and pray to God that they will come into them before it's too late. But they got to do it the same way that I have and you have. They got to repent. They got to accept him as their Savior. He's not going to force himself onto no one. He gave us the opportunity. There on the Calvary's cross, when he's hanging there, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're crucifying him every day afresh when you deny him and you rebel against his will and won't come to him and repent. You're crucifying him all over again, trampling the precious blood up under your feet and not believing and trusting in him. So do you think God's going to spare you of all the things that's come up and you neglecting him, that you don't even regard him as being even anything in your life? That's the way the world's doing. atheists has come forth making churches. The homosexuals got churches, and they're coming up and saying, this is the way God made me. The atheist has a day on April Fool. They can't be contented with it. Bible says only a fool would say there was no God. So we, April, they always said, since I can remember, that it was April Fool, Fool's Day. But a lot of people saying, they'd say some play a joke on somebody and say it was April Fool. Well, God ain't going to play no joke on them. He's told them to start with, only a fool would say that there is no God. But them that says that there is no God and won't repent and let God save them, it ain't going to be no April Fool joke. It's going to be heat, hell, and fire upon them that believe not in God. So it's up to them. It's their choice. But I would recommend that you read your Bible. Find out what he has to say about the days that we're living in. And look to him for salvation. Not to me or not some of these fellas on TV or some of these women folks on TV that comes around and everything that so many of you are engulfed with and say it. So check out the scriptures. Read for yourself. You're the one that's got to repent for yourself. They can't do it for you. Neither can I. But let me encourage you with everything that is within me. Read your Bible. See what God has to say about the days that we're living in and what the time that and in the condition of your soul, and see whether you need God or you just need another holler for my rights again. Your rights is what God gave you to serve him in the beauty of holiness. That's the rights you have, to serve God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's God-given right. Oh, my friend, but the courts anymore is giving everybody right but the person that needs it. They uphold the rights of a murderer. That after he'd murdered somebody, they'll uphold his right for that person that he murdered brutally. He didn't care nothing about his right. He's dead and gone. But they'll let the murderer go, most likely. But my friend, let me tell you, God's looking down upon all these things, and he is keeping a record of it, and he's not going to let it go. They're going to be judged just by the judge of all judges, a righteous judge, by King Jesus. And when he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I don't know you. I ain't going to have no part of you. Depart. That elevator going down into hell is operating fully. Ain't no return once you get there. If people going around praying and giving $50,000, $60,000 to an organization to pray them out of Pregador, he just lost his money. But the soul, that if he's in Pregador, he's going to stay there. He ain't going to get out. So you're foolishly wasting your money, your time, and everything else, and your belief too. Once you're there, you're there. There's no way you can come out. Bible plainly made it. When Jesus spoke to him about Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man wound up and was buried in hell. He had everything good in this world, but he didn't have no time for the poor man, didn't have no time for God. Lazarus was carried off into Abraham's bosom, into paradise, in other words. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. Father Abraham, let Lazarus come that he may dip his finger into the water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Abraham replied, well, son, you remember when you was on earth? You had everything, fared sumptuously, everything, and Lazarus was poor. You wouldn't even give him a crumb of food to eat. Now Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented. But besides that, Lazarus can't go down there. You can't come up him. Well, send him to my brother's house. No, they won't believe the prophets. Neither will they believe one that rose from the dead. Jesus Christ came into this world, God in the flesh, and went to Calvary's cross and died for yours and my miserable souls and to save us from sin and bring us back into the kingdom of God where he placed us to begin with, and Adam there. But the fall of the garden brought us into sin and destitute, and now we needed a Savior. He come provided salvation through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the Calvary, his cross. He shed his blood for the remission of yours and my sins, and we rejected it, and we think that he's going to have mercy on us at that day. My friend, you're going to wake up in a rude awakening. It ain't going to happen that way. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come, or it may be too late. It's time we've taken the time out to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let everything else be added to us according to his will. Planting your seed into these other people's bank accounts is not getting you anything as far as salvation is concerned. But planting your seed of faith in the wisdom and the knowledge of the truth of God's word will get salvation for your soul, and you escape the damnation that's coming upon this world of sinner and ungodliness. But it's up to you. It's up to you. You're the one that's going to have to do it. I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it. It's going to have to be Uno. It's going to have to be the one to repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when each one of those people heard him speaking the goodness and the blessings of God in their own language, because the Holy Ghost moved upon them and they spoke in their own native language there. And it may have been gibberish to some of them, but it was each man that knew and understood it, the wonderful things of God. They asked him, he said, "Men and brethren, what can we do that we might be saved?" And he said, "Repent, every one of you. Not just a few of you, but every one of you. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That Spirit of God, the hope of glory, that'll come in and abide with us. For you should know that we can become a temple of the living God. It's time we've taken time out for Jesus. Time you give him some of your undivided time in the days. Because we're living in perilous times, and the day is far spent, and the night is coming on, and there's a lot of them that's not been saved yet. But I want you to just think about it. Repent has got to come from your heart. Not, "I can't do it for you." But you got to do it for yourself. I'm going to turn it over to my wife now. We just hope and pray that God will touch your life in a way that you will believe and trust in him and give him praise and honor. And repent. Look to him for salvation. For there's no one else that can give it to you, my friend. Jesus made that very clear. The Word of God makes it very clear. All the writers made it very clear. And it's very clearly put into words that there's no salvation in any other name but at the name of Jesus. So it's up to you, and it's up to me. I made my choice. I hope you will too, and take time for Jesus and give him praise and honor. We love you in Jesus' name, and we hope and pray that when all this comes down and we all stand before the judgment of God and he says, "Enter in," that you'll be in the midst of us and we all go in rejoicing, being in the kingdom of God with all good and the mercies of God being on our side. May God bless you, and here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I told him to go on. I just am blessed by what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you this afternoon. We're in desperate need of revival. And one of the scriptures there that, as Brother Compton was ministering, John, the 9th chapter and the 31st verse, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he will hear your prayers." And we've got a lot of scriptures. If you want to email us, I'll give you the email in a little while here. Email us and we'll send you a lot of scriptures if you don't have a reference Bible or something. You email me and I'll email back, or send them a request to the radio or to the post office box, and I'll be glad to share them with you. But we need a revival. And this is from the Bible Friend for March of 1993. "Our problems are very deep. You don't reach the point of murdering the unborn and condoning raging pornography until a lot of water has passed under the bridge. Our country has forgotten God. we no longer care about him and no one fears him anymore. Homosexuals parade in the streets chanting, 2, 4, 6, 8, homosexuals are just as good as straights. Mayors issue proclamations honoring Gay Friday. This is an offense in the nostrils of God. Christian marriages are breaking up and people are writing books justifying it. Then Christian publishers are printing them. Nationally syndicated newspaper columnists declared it was so. Our early American forefathers called the churches to a solemn assembly where they waited on God in humiliation, fasting and prayer in times of moral decline. Joel called God's people to a solemn assembly in his day. In Joel 1:13-14 and Joel 2:12-17. In a booklet on the solemn assembly, a man wrote that our fathers believed God was offended by sin. They themselves were deeply troubled both by the existence of personal sin in their own lives and by the presence of unconfessed corporate sin in the churches and in the nation. They also believed that outbursts of wickedness were directly related to the decline and moral and spiritual life in the churches. We are living in a time whenever sin is not preached anymore. There's all kinds of things. You go into churches, you know, nobody mentions sin. They feel like everybody there is a Christian. And my husband, of course, you know, is a little bit different. He preaches sin and everybody there are, you know, they know the Lord and everything, but I'm not saying we need to preach only to sinners, but we need to preach to the saints to keep them from sinning.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a day-by-day thing. You know, we are among people all the time. You see them, it's living an ungodly lifestyle. You see them prospering and everything, and you think, well, look how they're making it and look at us, you know, but I don't look at it that way. I wake up in the morning, thank God for every day he's given me. Thank God for the simple, you know, the roof over my head and the food in my stomach and in my refrigerator and for the clothes that I have to wear. They're not $1 million clothes. I buy them at a Goodwill store, but they're just as good as anybody else's. And I just thank God every day for what he's given me. Thank him for my animals and for the birds that he's put outside for me to feed and the clouds in the sky. I'm a nature lover and I thank God for everything that he's created. Most of all, I thank him for the day when he looked down on this old sinful girl and he pricked my heart and he said, you know, I was maybe not living the way I was raised, but after I got into church, it said, God heareth not the prayers of a sinner. And I thought, Lord of mercy, there I was out there praying for God to do this and God to do that. And he didn't even hear me. But he heard my mama's prayers and heard those of my aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters that were serving the Lord. And I thank God for each and every one of them. And this afternoon, if you've got unsaved loved ones, pray for them. Pray that God will touch their hearts. Don't pray for their prosperity or anything like that. That's what people want us to pray for. Pray that God will bless me. Pray that God will do this, but pray that God will save their souls. Their souls is more important to God than trying to make them rich or supplying their ungodly needs or whatever. You know, pray that I have money for cigarettes. Pray that I have money for beer. That's not what we pray for. We pray for their souls. Their soul is lost. And unless we pray for their souls, we're going to be held accountable for it. But I just pray that this afternoon that we've been a blessing to you and to help draw you closer to the Lord. And like I said, if we can help you in any way, you need prayer, you just email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com or send us your prayer request. Or if you have something that you would like for me to share with the world, you can write it, send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682, and if the Lord lays it on your heart to give us a little donation, that would be greatly appreciated. But if you live in the Tampa Bay area and you don't want to sit around on Saturday and Sunday night watching TV or the ball games or whatever, come to our church where the Word of God is preached, where the Spirit of God is felt, where you can feel Jesus there. We sing songs about Jesus. We don't sing these modern things. But if you email us, ecompton31@yahoo.com, we'll give you the address, and it's at 7:30 on Saturday and Sunday night. Come out and be with us, and we know you will be blessed. May the Lord bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. Like I said, my friend, it's time for us to take time for Jesus. Take time out of all other things and give God some praise and worship time from our lifestyle that we're living in. If it's in a sinful world, need to repent. If you're a Christian and claim that Jesus is your Savior, give him praise and honor from the depths of your soul, and give him honor as he is due honor. For he's a great God, and we love him. Love you. May God bless you. Until next time, amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first